Good afternoon and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good afternoon, Sherry, and happy International Day of No Self-Hate.
Yes. Good afternoon and happy holiday to you too.
Mm-hmm. And happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. Our assignment from yesterday, we're conditioned to be a human sacrifice. We're sacrificed to maintain karma. Example, what wants to live in gratitude for all of life's blessings is sacrificed to maintain the karma of being the good, unselfish person. Our assignment, what of you is sacrificed when the karma is chosen? Record and listen to what you see. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good afternoon, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Jen calling from Murphy's.
Well, good afternoon, Jen.
Very, very happy International Day of No Self-Hate. Very fun.
Good. Having a good celebration so far.
Oh, so much. So, okay, so with this assignment, what I'm seeing is the very sort of the simple stripped-down version was so profound when I saw it. So it's essentially that the karma is, you know, it could be so good. And it's not a bad thing. It's, oh, no. I mean, if we organize and pull together and plan it and do, you know, and this special thing and this is coming, and there could be so good. And what gets sacrificed for that is it is so good.
Uh-huh. Oh, my. Yeah. Yeah, so leave the perfection of what is to plan something perfect.
Yep, to make it special. And that obscures that, you said something profound to me a few weeks ago, but essentially that, so there's this special experience that karma talks me into seeking and to realize everything in the universe is that special experience.
Mm-hmm. Boy, that's that really captures it, doesn't it? These things are really special. Only these things are important. So, not to give anything away, but we're looking at relationships and things like that in the retreat. And that these people are special. These relationships are special. This is what matters. This is what. As you say, it obscures the fact that everything is everything, which takes us quickly to and everything is the most perfect thing.
Yes, it reminds me of something you said, another very profound thing you said to me at one point, which was something like, we will only allow ourselves to be happy in karmically acceptable situations or, you know, whatever is acceptable to our karma. We'll only allow ourselves to be happy in those circumstances.
Mm-hmm. If I have this and this and it goes that way and those people are there and that happens, then I can be happy. But until then, nope, I'm not going to be happy. We could be, but we won't be.
Yes, we won't be. And just very quickly, Sherry, the retreat is just so beautiful and profound. And I've been hearing people say, as I've been facilitating and listening to myself and that sort of thing, you know, boy, I'm just seeing these layers of self-hate in this retreat that I hadn't realized were there. And I was really looking at that. And what I realized is, oh my goodness, that for me, what we're learning in this retreat is that the self-hate, so very quick example was I had decided that, you know, I really want to call into the show tomorrow. This is yesterday. So I said, okay, I'm going to call into the show. I'm making that commitment. And once I've made that commitment, I'm not going to go back on it. And what I watched was there's this little thing of like, oh, right, I'm calling into the show tomorrow. Shoot, you know, kind of these little bits of self-hate. And that caught my attention because I feel like in the process that we're learning in this retreat, those things catch my attention. I turn towards them instead of away from them. So that's the first thing. I'm trained to turn away from it, which basically puts this little flag of self-hate, like reinforces self-hate, and then I, quote, go on with my life. But I don't really. It's just this another unconscious self-hate has been planted. But with the process of this retreat, I turn my attention towards it. And when I turned my attention towards it, what I saw was, oh, because self-hate is just exactly like your newsletter article. I hope people will read that in honor of today again. But that hate is just there as a process, and it's waiting to find something. So I decide I'm going to call into the show, and it's like, oh, fabulous, because something is going to happen in that we can glom onto. And so what I saw in terms of the human yeah. getting sacrificed is like, okay, yeah. fine, I won't call into the show then. Like, that's fine. Like making a deal with the devil, basically. Because if I call into the show, there's the chance that self-hate is going to get some material to use against me. But if we use the process of this retreat, all our treasures are in those very same places that we're supposed to not look because they're too painful, but they're so not painful. Like everything, all of life's process is in those places. It's extraordinary.
Yes, and when we talk about conditioning being the opposite, the world of opposites, right?
Exactly.
That's it. So don't look at that, exactly. It'll be too painful. What's really true is if you look at that, you'll realize it's not painful at all. It's
exactly.
freedom. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very
yeah.
good.
So anyway,
glad
you
called in.
Having so much fun. Yep. All right. Have a great
all
rest
right.
of the
thanks,
retreat.
Jen.
Thanks,
Thank
Sherry.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jen. Sherry, that was so related to what we were looking at today in the morning in group, that the self-hate is the focus on what is not. It's a negation. And so all we have to do is, if we recognize it, turn our attention to what is, and self-hate has no prayer, right? It was what Jen was talking about. I have to look at every special moment and find something special, because it's negating the fact that every moment is special.
Mm-hmm.
But if mm-hmm. I'm here not listening to how this moment is not special, so I want to plan a moment that's special, I'm in the specialness of this moment.
Mm-hmm. And I can actually actively participate in that, right? I don't yes. have to just wait for it to dawn on me that it's special. I can look around. I can practice directing mm-hmm. the attention to seeing everything in this particular moment that is so special. Now,
mm-hmm.
is it more special than anything else? Not really. But it's what I'm attending to, and that's what makes it special for me.
Yes. Well, and that brings me to the other point that I think you were looking at with Jen, which is we're so used to duality being two opposites. But the ultimate duality, I mean, that's why self-hate is so awful. It's a negation, right? Life is not. So we don't see it as a duality, but it's a negation of existence in every moment.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, that's not really true, right? Self-hate is not
right.
the opposite. It's not a duality with life. Life contains that. But it, as you're pointing out, it makes an artificial duality of life.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it makes it without it being a duality, because you're never conscious of the other. It's not the other side. It's just the absence of.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. It's Rebecca from the monastery.
Well, hello, Rebecca.
Hi. Happy birthday and happy
think?
International
thank
Day
you.
Of No Self-Hate.
Thank you, thank you.
So
what
I saw about this assignment and what gets sacrificed when the karma is chosen is that I, in this case, I get robbed of filling my rightful place on the team. That what the karma does when it sacrifices, when it's chosen, is it lures me into this place of, okay, I'm on my own. I mean, that's never said so explicitly, but, you know, in all kinds of ways, that's the message. And I'm quite good at managing things and making decisions and taking the lead and finding solutions and blah, 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 blah. And what the way that the human is sacrificed there is that, wait a minute, given those, if I were in pure consciousness, given the two choices, do you want to be on your own or do you want to be a part of the team? I'd choose part of the team any day and twice on Sundays, you know? And so mm-hmm. so that's what seems to be getting stolen.
Uh-huh. So it takes a person, in this case you, from wholeness or oneness to separation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
And because the team is life, right? It's
yep.
it's everybody. It's all of us. It's everything. There's nothing separate from that. Then ego wants to pull a person out of that into individuality, which is actually separation. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, that's not a happy place to live.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
It's a suffering place. Yeah, it's a miserable
yeah.
place to live. And
yeah.
when we keep in mind that human suffering is self-hate's joy, not that I think it ever feels joy, but that's what it's going for, because people will say, well, why would I want to do something that's going to cause me to suffer? And, of course, you don't, right?
Right?
It's when we're taken over by that self-hating system, it's making those choices for itself. And our
yeah.
suffering is the natural result.
Yeah, yeah. I was looking at it in terms of money, just, you know, the broad spectrum of all the kinds of karmic things that can happen around money. So it's like whether I'm robbing banks or trading with insider information or just hoarding my money and not spending it on things that seem to make sense and would bring pleasure to life and everything, it's all the same process of isolating, making me believe that this is for me, that I'm doing something that's good or helpful or that I need to do or whatever, and robbing me from the big, like, as you say, the team of life. I mean, of all resources, of all abundance, of all whatever, you know, that sense of well-being.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so interesting when you say that, because if I am an essential, integral part of life, then everything is mine.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right? But if I go off with ego into separation, then there's constant lack and deprivation, no matter how much I have, because it's a system of fear. And so whatever mm-hmm. I have, there's the fear of losing it, not having enough. And so I give up everything to choose nothing.
Yes. And in that way, I am sacrificed. Because, of
mm-hmm.
course, what I would choose is everything. But I'm not
mm-hmm.
given that option because I'm being sacrificed.
mm-hmm. Yeah.
yeah.
Oh, yep. All right. Well, good to see, as we like to say. It's very
yep.
good to see it, isn't it?
Yes, it's very yeah. good to see it.
And again, the point that was made previously, it's not nearly as painful to see it as not to see it. And because
right.
seeing it is actually liberating. Now we have a direction. We know the choice that we want to make. With
yeah.
the other, it's endless suffering.
Yeah, as the mentor
All right.
keeps saying, it's important to remember who your friends are. you know?
Uh-huh.
yeah. I mean, really.
All right.
Really.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Rebecca.
Bye.
Thanks, Rebecca. And I'm sorry, what I was aware of in that conversation is how it's what the little reading that you wrote in the not reading the newsletter article, right? Hate is a process of hate. It's simply what it does. Ego is a process of separation. It's simply what it is. If it's something wrong, not enough, then that's what it is. And so when we look at it in sort of what these processes are, the conclusions are inevitable. If karma goes on, then what gets sacrificed for the karma to go on is the human being,
mm-hmm.
is the life
yeah.
of the human being, the life that
yeah.
is possible if it wasn't limited by that karmic orientation, by definition.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of
mm-hmm.
like the self-evident truth, right? It's
yeah.
so
yeah.
obvious you can't see it.
Yeah, yeah. And it's important to get that, because when we're in conditioning, we live in hope,
mm-hmm.
the false hope, that it will somehow be different. Mm-hmm. But it won't be different. It won't be different. Winter will never be summer, and summer will never be winter. Temperatures might be whatever they are. That's probably not a good example, but you know what I mean. Night will never be day, yes. and day will never be night. They are what they are. And we can wish for the sun to come up at midnight all we want, and hope that if we hold our mouth right and be a really good person, and that it will, but it won't. And so recognizing that, then we're free to actually make choices that are valid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Mary, and happy birthday, Sherry.
Thank you, Mary. What are you seeing?
I'm seeing, I had an experience where I got flooded with an emotion and sensation of feeling isolated and alone and unsupported. And then I called a friend who was just talking about what was going on with her and said, oh, I'll get back to you in a minute. And then I had to go, and I picked up my recorder and listened to I Love You, I Love You, I Love You. And I didn't feel so unsupported and alone.
Aha. Because you weren't, were you? You were right there with you.
But it's intense when that flooding comes over, and I don't, in the moment, have the awareness or presence to pick up the recording at that time.
Right. Well, a couple of things about that, Mary. First of all, you don't have that yet. Okay? You don't have that clarity yet. That response is not your first response yet. It will be, all right? And to realize how intense that, what that system does to a human being, to experience the intensity of that, inspires us not to be casual about it, right? Do you know what I mean
what do you
by
mean?
That? You know how important it is to you to put in place what will take care of you when those kinds of things happen, because those kinds of things happen and they're awful.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It feels awful. And so if you didn't have that ability to come back to what takes care of you, you would just be out there and lost. And you would suffer for a very long time with that, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so it can be really helpful to bring to a situation like that the kind of presence that you're bringing to it. Now, conditioning would say, no, it's awful. I don't want to be present to that. But, yeah, you do, because what that does is reinforce the importance of what you're doing to be there for yourself.
Yes.
So my teacher used to say, the very best time to learn to swim is when you're drowning. Okay. and of course, what he meant by that is when the stakes are really high, we tend to do what we need to do, whether we think we can or, you know, all of those conversations in the head just fall away. Because if you're drowning, then you're going to start turning to life to give you all the information you need about how to swim. And it'll be there, okay? But we don't need to wait until we're drowning to learn to swim. We're fortunate to know that it's possible to practice ahead, right? To learn ahead, to be prepared, to be present in the moment when these things happen. That's what we're practicing for, not to have it happen and then have to find our way out of it.
Yeah, and I saw, you know, my habitual reaction was to call somebody or to look outside for that support, and then I was like, oh, you are the support, and you have the support, and go to that, go to yourself. And yeah, it's a process.
Yeah. Yeah. And we can even say thank you to your friend for being so insensitive to you.
For not being there.
Yeah. Because if she had been, then you wouldn't have had this experience. And this experience was a really important one for you to have.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was.
It's all good, isn't it?
It is. Well,
right.
Have a great birthday, and thank you for your support.
Thank you, Mary.
Bye.
Go happy.
You too.
Thanks, Mary. Sherry, it looks like we have time for more callers, so here we go. Our next caller is live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, it's Julian calling from Portland.
Well, hello.
Hey, Julian.
Hey, nice to make contact with you guys.
Yeah, good to hear your voice. What are you seeing?
Well, I'm looking at a process around getting talked into buying things, lots of nice things that usually end up not being as nice when they actually arrive. It's more the idea of them, the distracted conversation around, hey, wouldn't it be, you know, if you got this thing, then you'd be done. You know, it would really complete this collection or whatever, whatever it happens to be. And
yes,
it's interesting because
our way of talking about that is, and then you'd be happy. That's what it's really
about.
And then,
yeah.
Right? Then get that thing and then you'll be happy. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, well, I was just going to say, I was happy this was sort of the content we were looking at because I've been looking at it for a while. And I think that, yeah, the way that ego sort of has me pinned now is it convinces me that it's this next thing is really the last one, you know, every time.
Right.
Because I recognize that that's the language because there's a person here who's exhausted by this process and wants it to be the last time I get so distracted, by the conversation. So when I was thinking today or yesterday in the assignment, what gets sacrificed is just, the person who wants to just be in gratitude for what they have and just hear. Not in that
just
conversation.
Enjoying life. Enjoying life.
Exactly.
And contrary to what our conditioned beliefs are, that is how we tend to change. Joko Beck said, we don't let things go. We wear them out. And that's really true. We let it go once we've worn it out. You know, we finally just get so sick of the process that it doesn't, we can't be fooled anymore. It's Charlie Brown in the football, you know. No, she's not going to keep that football there for you to kick it. Yeah, you are going to wind up on your backside, right? So we know, after a while, we know how this is going to go, and so we stop making that choice. So I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. What it can be more difficult is to be in a conversation about how, so ego gets in a conversation with ego. I want this. No, you don't. Yes, I do. No. Yeah. You know how that's going to, and that's not where the change is going to come from, right? The change is going to come from seeing that whole process and just simply losing interest in it.
Right. You know, I never quite connected it that way, that the back and forth, that ping pong game is all ego, both sides back and forth.
Both sides, yeah. You're just a kind of a semi-conscious observer, right? Becoming more conscious all the time, right? And that's that's the waking up to what's actually going on and realizing the toll it's taking on the human being. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, because the end result is often, you know, I overspend and then I'm punished for that. And so that's really the whole loop of the suffering. So, yeah.
Right. And you're disappointed, right? Because
disappointed,
It doesn't deliver what it's supposed to deliver. And then you're beaten for that. And it's just an awful, ugly, horrible cycle. And it's all part of letting go of the karma. I mean, you're burning that karma away. And the thing that I like about the way we do this in this practice is when once you see through something like this, you're never going to be fooled again. Quitting a habit when you really want the habit, because quitting it is what you should do, and you'll always want it because you're not through with it. And the temptation to go back to it is really, really strong because you still want it. But when you're done with it, when that karma is burned away and you're finished, temptation no longer exists.
Yeah, and that's what's so helpful about looking at it, because I'm really, you can see the effects. And the more you see the effects, the more you're able to say, yeah, I really don't want this anymore.
Yes, yep. So. Yep, yeah. Nothing wrong with it. Not a problem.
Yeah.
I just don't want to play. I just don't want to participate in that. Thank you very much.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well,
right.
I'm loving it, and I'm so glad to be a part of it. So, yeah.
Oh, me too. I know exactly what you mean. All right.
Well, enjoy your birthday.
All right.
Thanks,
take care. Julian. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Julian. Sherry, do we want to squeeze in one more caller?
Let's see. No.
Okay.
I don't think we can make it. I'm afraid we're just going to carry
yeah,
on.
It just went from 27 minutes to 28 minutes. So in 2 minutes,
yeah.
I don't think we could do justice to anybody.
Yeah. And then we'd rush them, and then that wouldn't feel good. And yeah.
All right. So our assignment for today, what would you have to let go of? What would you have to give up, surrender, lose interest in for the karma not to be maintained? The obvious answer is ego, but what aspect of ego? Record and listen to what you see.
Because process definitely hides in content and fools us, huh? So it can be, what we're looking for can be very specific to a situation.
That's right. That's
right.
And it's so important to get specific in order to be able to also see to see the nuance of it, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because it's what Jen started us off with, that there are some ways in which not going into the specifics actually obscures obscures the karma.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why. Well, it's ego is an answer that ego really likes.
Yeah,
ego.
Because
it's
that doesn't help
that.
You give it up.
Yeah,
yeah.
It doesn't help a thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
It doesn't help.
All
a
right.
Thing. Right.
Well,
thank you, Sherry.
Me. Thank you, everybody. Enjoy no self hate.
Enjoy no self hate. Take care.
No, you do. Bye bye.